fourth thing today. It is January 24th. Warren and Ryan here with you. Got a big weekend of football to talk about. So that's what we will be discussing. We also, there is some cleanup on the Akshay Bhatia caddy story. I think that if you want to get into that, we could get into that as well. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. The last couple times we've had some connection or recording issues. Seems like my cousin wants to do an F1 podcast. We were talking about names. I didn't include this last time, but one of the names I said we were doing like funny things. Like one of them is a degradation, and you have to drink throughout the podcast to see who could get the most quote unquote degraded throughout. Funny. So then I responded with, how about losing power? Someone's got to lose power throughout the podcast. You just don't know when it's going to be. And looks like I'm 2 for 2 on losing power the last two times.
Yeah, but you're definitely.
This was good, though. It was like literally 2 minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was early in. Yeah, right now you are you're the Max Verstappen of losing power. Because, I mean, you're 2 for 2 right now. You're killing the game. But it's all good. Like I said, at least it happened in the beginning. Last time it happened right at the end, so it wasn't as bad. What sucks is when it's right in the dead middle of everything.
Yeah, because then you got to figure out where to, how to restart. Not, well, you obviously, we don't redo the whole thing, but like what we were talking about and that. But yeah, no, lots of going. You were talking about Mims and brunch. Got a good nap in before the game.
Yeah, it was perfect. I mean, like I said, had a couple mimosas. Came home. It was kind of awkward because, I mean, not awkward, but my wife had told me about the plans on Friday and to go out with these friends after we got out of church. And I was like, well, is this going to be a boozy brunch or is this like a keep it together brunch? She's like, you can be boozy if you want. I said, all right, let's turn up. It sounds good. And so we get there first, Jamie and I do. And so I order a mimosa, comes out, and then they get there like maybe 5 minutes later, the couple we were meeting. And, they go to order their drinks. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll just do water. Like, wait a second. What's going on here? And so I was like, okay, maybe he's going to check out the drink menu. Because the guy, we've gone to brunch numerous times. We've gone to dinner numerous times. And he likes to, you know, drink, have a couple beers with dinner, whatever. Nothing. I was the only one just hammering mimosas. So that part was kind of awkward. But I was like, you know what? Not a whole lot. Not real often we go out to brunch and make it a boozy brunch. So I'm going to live it up and do it. And I did. And it was, you know, came home, like I said, had a nice little schnooze. Woke up in time for game time, and we were ready to roll.
I was thinking of something. That's a tough scene by that guy, though.
Oh, I mean, I was like, buddy, like when he kind of gave me that look, like, hey man, sorry. Like he knew, but I kind of gave him the look, like, buddy, what are we doing here? They had mentioned something like halfway through about they were gonna order drinks or they weren't or something like that, and then I was like, I didn't catch it completely. But I was like, I mean, come on, you just left me on an island over here, guy.
Is Jamie aware when the Super Bowl is?
Yes, she's very aware because she's happy now because, you know, it used to fall on her birthday every couple years.
Oh, and so this is better.
Yeah. So now she is like, you know, she's like, I don't even care that it's on Valentine's Day or right around Valentine's Day. It could be on Valentine's Day. I'm just happy that it's not on. Yeah. She's like, I'm just not happy that there's no chance of it being on my birthday anymore. So, yeah, you're right.
People on TikTok are finally figuring that out, or I should say the women of TikTok are finally figuring that out.
So a quick little story. You want to talk about the saddest Valentine's days ever. There was a couple years when I was bartending that the NBA All-Star game fell on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I bartended at a spot that is not Valentine's Day friendly or not on the top of the list. It shouldn't be on the list for Valentine's Day dinners. And so it never failed. I would have a ton of guests or customers, men and women, couples that would come in, and it was like they've gone everywhere else and everywhere was on a 3-hour wait. They didn't get any reservations. And so it was like, well, at least we're still going to go eat somewhere. Like, we're still hungry. We got to go eat. So it was like the saddest Valentine's Day dinners ever. But then there were a couple times that like the dunk contest was on. And so it kind of cheered things up a little bit because then it got, you know, interesting, the 3-point contest, whatever. But yeah, so Jamie and I always make the joke because she worked at the same spot too. I'd be like, hey, you know, at least we're not watching the dunk contest on Valentine's Day, eating chicken wings. And so that's just kind of a funny story we always talk about because, you know, that's going to happen a time or two as well. Yeah. When the Super Bowl is on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to happen. It might not be for a couple of years, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. We'll start with the game everybody was looking forward to. That was Bills Chiefs. Lived up to the hype, and especially the final 2 minutes exceeded the hype, and then the overtime. That's really when, look, it was a good game all around, but that's really when it kicked off. When it went into, that was a college football ending in an NFL game. Like we, a lot you talk about is, oh, do people like the NFL more than college? Obviously in the pros, the players are way better. In college, the endings are way more exciting because the players are just, they're dumb. Like there's a lot more dumber players, not as good as players, and you get crazy endings. In the NFL, rarely do you see an ending, what happened in the Bills and Chiefs game. And it wasn't because the players were dumb. Maybe some coaching decisions that we could talk about were a little dumb. But, I mean, just a classic, instant classic, obviously, as everybody's been saying. The Chiefs win in overtime. Then this again brings in it over. Now the talking point overshadows how good the game was, is that now you have to change the overtime rules. Because Josh Allen didn't get the ball when literally 2 years ago in the same spot, the Chiefs didn't get the ball. And we did the whole overtime rules thing. And look, they're fine. The overtime rules, it is what it is. If don't give up a mile in the overtime, don't give up a touchdown, but we could touch on that later. But what a great game between two great quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Mahomes. Josh Allen goes home. He throws what? 9 touchdowns. He doesn't throw a pick and he's out in the second round. And that's, I mean, if you're a Buffalo fan, I texted my dad after this. I'm like, you gotta, if you're the city of Buffalo, you just give everybody the day off of work today. Nobody works. You just, you can't leave the house today.
Yeah. The whole city's got to shut down. And the only things that got to be open are the bars.
I don't even know if the bar should be open because you just got to drink in your house. Like you can't even go to, but you shouldn't leave your house today. Like you don't want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, absolutely brutal. Josh Allen played his ass off. I mean, you want to talk about putting a team on your back and literally like forcing them into the spot that he was, willing them into the spot that they were at. It was, you know, it was not a once in a lifetime performance, but it was a big time performance. It was a great performance, you know, especially from a young quarterback. A lot of on the broadcast, they were talking a lot about this being the new Manning Brady matchup of Josh Allen versus Mahomes, two guys that can do just about anything they want with their arms. Josh Allen is, I mean, everyone knows he's a good runner, but I don't know that we've ever seen a quarterback like him in the sense of the way he runs paired with the way he throws. Like he runs the old football adage. He runs behind his pads. Like very rarely does he slide. That's probably going to be, you know, to his detriment come later in his career. But right now he's looking, you know, I'll think back to the very first fourth down that they had on the opening drive. And he takes the ball and takes it to the right side and he sees a hole and cuts back like a running back, like a Lamar Jackson. Like the vision and the footwork he had to cut it back and find the hole and get upfield in almost two steps, the cut back and then the drive upfield, having bang, bang, bang. I don't know that we've seen a guy like that can run the way he does. And then definitely the arm that he has, the accuracy, obviously the power that he has and how far he can launch it. But it was just, it was a remarkable performance by him. Gabriel Davis coming up with all 4 touchdowns. A couple of them, he was wide open in the end zone. Puts the guy on absolute skates when they go ahead late in the fourth. Like I said, big time performance, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the kickoff with 13 seconds left. I don't know that it really matters. I mean, Mahomes and the Chiefs are one of those teams that's like, until that clock says triple zeros, like you cannot count them out if they have a shot to win or tie. Like you just can't. It's one of those things. I know when we're talking analytics or you're talking gambling and you say, well, I don't want to bet against that guy. Or, you know, when you take things in that aren't, what do you want to call it? Like logistical or things tangible, you know, you kind of sound dumb, but I'm serious. I don't know if Buffalo kicks it off with the 13 seconds left and makes the Chiefs return. I don't know that it really makes a difference. Cause I think a Buffalo's defense was playing not to lose while their offense was playing to win. And because of that, the Chiefs were going to have a shot to tie it up or go ahead. no matter what. We saw that in the last 2 minutes. I very much think Buffalo's defense was playing not to lose.
I also think the Buffalo defense was just tired.
Oh, for sure.
They were there for like so many more plays, I think, than the Bills. Or the Chiefs ran 73 plays, and the Bills ran 63. How many plays was that overtime drive? Let's take a look. It was eight plays. Okay, so they were about even, but it just seemed like they were way more gassed than the Chiefs defense was.
Well, the Chiefs had a lot of long drives, like long as far as time, like they prolonged a lot. You know, they had like 5, 6, 7 minute drives.
Yeah, but at the end of the game. But at the end of the game, the Bills went on that long 7 minute touchdown drive when you're thinking, boy, they're taking up two, when it was 17 plays, they're taking too much time. And I think that he's not going to get criticized, I don't think. But I thought Brian Daboll was too conservative yesterday early on. I thought he was too conservative. They weren't taking any shots deep. I know you've been screaming for the Bills to run the ball. With Singletary and everything. But running the ball with Singletary wasn't working yesterday.
It wasn't. You're right.
And they kept going to it. And whenever they were making plays, it was with either Josh Allen on the run or Josh Allen using his arm. And then it was like they were so afraid to just throw it all over the yard every single down. And like there are spots where you can run. Hey, maybe a second and one run out of the shotgun, like, or second and short out of the shotgun. Like there are spots to run. But it just seemed like they were like running on first down too much and it wasn't working. The same thing with the Chiefs, like the Chiefs with McKinnon up the middle, like that wasn't working either. It was like they were wanting to have these long drives, I guess, to give the defense a rest or something. And for both teams, it was in the beginning of the second half or in the third quarter, in the early in the fourth, it just wasn't working. It was like, let these guys throw the ball. You got two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, let them throw. They're making plays with their arm. Don't just hand it off all the time. And that's what was frustrating for me yesterday watching the Bills. It was like, why are you not letting just Josh Allen uncork it all the time? Like, you should stop running the ball with these guys. It's not working. Let him throw. Let him throw. Same thing with Mahomes. It's like the third down with Andy Reid when they do that stupid tight end option to Blake Bell. Like, seriously, like that play is going to be overlooked. If they lose that game, you're thinking, what the hell is Bieniemy or Andy Reid calling? Whoever's calling the plays, like, that's just a dumb play to run there. You got Mahomes, like, let him make plays. You got Allen, let him make plays. Like, this is how you're moving the ball. Let put the ball in their hands. That's what was frustrating from a Buffalo standpoint. It was like, why are you running the ball? Just throw it with Josh Allen. Like, and they finally took a deep shot late and it worked. It's like, where was that earlier in the game? It was like they were. Daboll was too conservative because he was like, we can't kick field goals. They didn't kick a field goal. They didn't attempt one. Like, they went for it on fourth downs early on, which is good. It's like they were like so cautious of, we have to run it. We have to keep it slow. And we have to we just got to keep the Chiefs off the field. And they just got caught in the run game, I thought. And it was hurting their offense.
Well, the last couple of weeks, you know, last 4 or 5 weeks, they've seen a huge jump in the production of the run game. So I think they've kind of fell into a, hey, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, it just happened to break that night, I guess, if you want to put, you know, continue the metaphor in that case. Whereas like, yeah, the running game wasn't working, but because they had seen so much success the last month of the season, why not keep going back to it? But I agree, you know, but a lot of times these games too, we talked about in the Georgia-Bama game, and I said that this might be the same thing as much, where, you know, it's a heavyweight fight. The first six rounds, the first half, you're kind of filling each other out. Luckily, they didn't get down too much. They kept it within striking distance. And then, you know, there at the end, obviously the last 2 minutes for sure, but even you want to say the last fourth quarter, then you start kind of turning up the heat a little bit, because A, if you're the Bills, you have to. And B, you know, you're hoping that, you know, your guys are still fresh, able to make these bigger plays, or fresher, you know, able to make these bigger plays. And you feel like you got a better shot then, you know. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I think they ended up abandoning the run.
No, they did, and they were right, much more successful.
No, but that's what I think they did it at the right time. Like, I think they finally realized, like, hey, okay, you know, Yeah, the last month of the season, Devin Singletary has been great. The running game's been great. But then at some point, you just got to dance with who you brought. And that's Josh Allen. And he ended up turning it on and having a fantastic game. But going back to your Chiefs point about the Kelce draw play or the Kelce option
play. That wasn't Kelce.
The option play?
Yeah, it was Blake Bell.
Oh, it was Blake Bell? Oh, shoot. See, I thought it was Kelce.
No, because Nance said it was Kelce at the beginning, and then he said, oh, that's Blake Bell, so that everybody thinks it's Kelce. No, it was Blake Bell.
Yeah, so yeah, I thought it was Kelce, too. I didn't even realize. But even so, I mean, it didn't matter who it was. Like you said, you put your best players, put the ball in their hand when you need a big shot. You know, the Chiefs are probably the number one team of being guilty of getting too cute, and a lot of times they get too cute the wrong times. You know, they do all this fancy stuff pre-snap, and then it ends up Mahomes just taking the ball or whatever it may be. Nonetheless, like I said, that option play had zero chance of working. Just put the ball in Mahomes' hands and try to get the 2-point conversion and try to get the touchdown. Whatever you got to do, put the ball in your best player's hands. That, so like you said, if they lose, that probably gets overlooked because of just the sheer performance of Josh Allen and both teams really there at the end. But that really was a bonehead play once it's all said and done.
All right, so you know how I said on Thursday I liked Elijah Mitchell to be the highest rushing in the divisional round?
Yeah.
Who do you think was the highest rushing player in the divisional round?
Josh Allen.
Wrong. It was Pat Mahomes. We got him by 1 yard. 69 yards. Allen had 68.
Nice.
Mitchell had 53. And then Deontay Foreman was leading the charge until yesterday. He had 66. How about that, though?
How about that?
Mahomes wasn't even an option.
Yeah.
All right. So the kick. That's getting a lot of. Well, how about Tyreek Hill? That was amazing. And the most amazing thing was that he put the deuces up at the 15. And the linebacker had the angle, but he knew the linebacker had no chance.
No chance.
And he just put the deuces up. Was like
ran away. Ran away.
That was amazing. I mean, that's the best game he's had probably in months. And the punt return.
The punt return was huge.
I mean, it's electrifying. He's an electrifying player out there. But the kickoff. Okay, so everyone was saying like a squib or whatever. I mean, I think you have to kick it. You have to kick it inside the 10, so they have to run it out. I think that's the play, because a squib, I think they could just take a knee whenever they get the ball and like no time comes off the clock or a second does. But I don't know if the Chiefs are smart enough to do that. They might have just run. But you got to send it up where you run some clock off. And I just don't understand how you can give up 40 yards in 44 yards in 13 seconds. Like, that to me is just baffling. I'm still stunned by that. Like, that first play to Tyreek Hill they ran, that's the same exact play they did. You remember when the Chiefs played the Cowboys, like, what was that, 3 years ago, 4 years ago here? And you remember when they scored, I don't know if you remember this, but they scored at the end of the first half. They didn't throw a Hail Mary. They threw it to Hill. It was probably like, they were probably at their own 40. They threw it to Hill. Like a 20-yard pass, and they had blockers out there, and he just slithered between them, and he scored a touchdown at the end of the half. That was the same exact play they ran on first down. And then, like, how do you not cover Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not? I don't understand. Like, how you give up? How do you make it under a 50-yard field goal in 13 seconds? That's baffling to me.
Yeah, no, like I said, I don't know that it really matters if they kick it short. I think the smart play is to kick it short, make them return it. But then if they kick it short and he ends up taking it to, say, the 35 or the 40, then once everybody's saying, oh, he should have kicked it out of bounds, now they got better field position than if he would have just kicked it, or not out of bounds, but you know what I mean, kicked it out of the end zone. So I don't know, you know, I think it's pick your poison at that point. Because what it all comes down to is that Kelce play. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is him running one-on-one or wide open and getting that huge chunk play. I think You eliminate that and you're in a much, much better spot, obviously. So the time really doesn't matter. What I think matters the most is that play right there and Buffalo giving up that play.
Oh, for sure. But if you run it back, you're taking time off the clock.
I get it. No, you get that.
So it's 10 seconds. It's 10 seconds. You don't know. You probably don't get. They probably don't get two plays off maybe in 10 seconds, or they change. Maybe they change the strategy or something.
No, it for just, sure. I know. I get it. I'm 100% in agreement with you. But again, at the same time, like, I just don't know until the, like I said at the top, if they got a shot being the Chiefs, I'm going to assume that they're going to make the best of that and probably accomplish what they're trying to do no matter how much time is left, just because we've seen them do it so many times before. We've seen Patrick Mahomes make electrifying plays. We've seen Tyreek, Kelce, all those guys. We've seen, like, you know, Mahomes make plays to Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle, guys that aren't even their big dudes. So until that clock says zero, I just don't know that you can really count them out in any situation with any amount of time left on the clock.
Yeah, no, for sure. But their strategy would have definitely changed and it would have been hard.
Yeah, absolutely would have, no doubt.
And then in overtime, the Bills defense didn't even put up a fight. No, yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. They didn't put up a negative play. That was pretty much hot knife through butter at the end in overtime. I mean, that was clinical. So earlier in the year you were saying, and this kind of ties into the bigger picture of the AFC, that you thought the Bills were like a year away.
Yeah.
And I pushed back on that on saying how can you think a team that was in the AFC championship game last year is a year away? Like, the Bills aren't a year away. They just have to find a way to beat the Chiefs. And that starts with getting home field, probably. Like, they're not a year away. They're just in the, they got a bad draw. Like, the Bengals. No one thinks that they're in the AFC championship game. They were, everyone said, a couple years away from contending or whatever. They could win the Super Bowl. They're one of four teams that can win a Super Bowl. So the whole, like, teams of years away, that's why I don't like that discussion, because the Bills had a worse season this year than they did last year. But overall, they're probably a better football team this year than they were last year. So that's why I don't think for any team, like saying you're a year away if you're in the playoffs, you shouldn't think that. You have to, like, strike now, because you could get a Bengals situation. You could get this. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I kind of, when I said that they were a year away, I said what I really meant was they're like a playmaker away. Gabriel Davis came on late, and because you're right, I did say that they're about a year away. But what I really meant by that, and what I think I kind of said to back it up, was they're a playmaker away. Gabriel Davis has been really good. He was good all season. He was kind of their big end zone threat. Obviously, Stephon Diggs has been fantastic. You know, they have their tight end in Dawson Knox. I think they need another guy along Stephon Diggs. And I think they need a more solid running game. Devin Singletary has been really, really good. I mean, nobody thought he was going to be anything coming out of Florida Atlantic or anywhere as good as he's been. And he hasn't been, like, you know, fantastic, but he's been a serviceable running back. He's been there 3 years now. He's been fine. But if they had, like, a dude behind Josh Allen that could take a little bit of the pressure off for him, I mean, they had the number one defense all year. I think they're just an offensive playmaker away from really being, like, the cream of the crop of the AFC. And obviously we just saw they went head to head with the Chiefs, who's believed to be the top team in the AFC, you know, regardless of what the seeding was this year. So, you know, they just need, in my opinion, that extra guy to kind of push them over the top. But I mean, you're not completely wrong. But I still think that they are missing a piece. And once they plug that piece, I think they're going to be one of those teams that, I still think they are going to be a team that's competing for the top spot or representing the AFC in the Super Bowl for the next few years. But I think that will really push them over the edge if they find that one more dude.
Yeah, for sure. But the thing is, it's getting lucky on your seeding too.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, the Titans this year were the one seed. No, they're probably the third best team in the AFC. Impressive job by them getting the one seed. But then you're the Bills. You're like, all right, we're the three. we end up having to face the Chiefs in the divisional round instead of the championship game. And the Chiefs lose to the Bengals in a game that they were up, what, 14 points at halftime?
Yeah.
In a game they probably shouldn't have lost. They scored 3 points in the second half. And you end up facing them in the divisional round. You get unlucky there. Like that, it's just two on where you get lucky with seeding and everything. Like that's a tough break.
Yeah.
That's a tough draw. And you could say the Bengals, let's just keep it in the AFC, they got probably the safest draw to the championship game of any four seed. You get what people would say is a week one, or not a week one, but just a inconsistent and clearly not one of the two best teams in the conference. And
not the strongest one or close to it that we've seen in recent years.
For sure. And we would both agree they're clearly behind the Chiefs and the Bills. I know they beat them in the regular season, but just watching them, you would say, you know what? I'd rather be the Chiefs and I'd rather be the Bills. And they get the Titans coming off a bye. And probably the worst thing that happened to the Titans was that Derrick Henry came back because he was terrible. He was horrible. Tannehill was atrocious. And it was like Joe Burrow was good, but Burrow wasn't like, I didn't think he was great. If you want to look at his QBR was 28.2. Like he was fine. He took what was there. Didn't do too much. Didn't lose him the game. Like the quarterback on the other side did. He lost them the game, which is what you have
to. Murrow, every time he snapped the ball, he had a guy right in his lap.
I own 9 sacks. Pretty, it's nuts. I mean, he was battling out there for sure. But like you would say that the Bengals, again, it was like against the Raiders. I don't think anybody's saying the Bengals went out there and won that game. Most people would lean that the Titans gave that to them. Yeah. And I'm not like, oh, bitter Bengal, whatever. No, but that's just like what it was. The Titans made the mistakes and the Bengals capitalized on it. And that's what 100%. They did.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But Derrick Henry, I don't even know who the Titans offensive coordinator is now, but whoever it was, dude should be. How you run? I know Derrick Henry's back, but my God, that offense couldn't be any more predictable. Deontay Foreman clearly was running better. How do you not give him more than 4 carries out there? I don't get it. And part of my Titans thing is clouded. I don't want to say clouded, but like Ish, my buddy Ish, who's been on, I don't know, a handful of times, 5-6 times. He's a big Titans guy. So he's like tweeting, oh, disrespect Tannehill. Look at how good Tannehill is. Tannehill is decent. Like he's not in the same, he's not going toe-to-toe. He might go toe-to-toe one time, but you're not expecting him to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes and Allen and that stuff. And they're like, oh, Derrick Henry, blah, blah, blah. Like, they just fell into the trap that Derrick Henry is going to come back and be good, and that's why they lost the game in my mind.
You look at the 7 quarterbacks that made the playoffs in the AFC, Tannehill's what, maybe 5 or 6? Probably 5 on that list? Maybe
the worst.
The worst one's Big Ben for sure. Then Mac Jones. And then like I said, he's probably right there with Derek Carr, you know, the next guy. Who would you put it at 5 there?
Probably I'd take Derek Carr over Tannehill.
Exactly. So that's what I mean. The disrespect of Tannehill. He's not even top 4 guy.
Yeah.
Top 3 guy that made the playoffs this year.
No, I know, but the advanced numbers like Tannehill.
Because he's conservative, and he doesn't take a whole lot of shots. And when he does, I mean, it helps when you have a guy like A.J. Brown, who's bigger than 95% of the league and, you know, faster than almost anybody. You know, Julio Jones wasn't around a whole lot, but he doesn't take a whole lot of shots. And when he does, I mean, they are in the right spot, so credit to him. But still, nonetheless, you know, that's why Kirk Cousins, same thing goes for him. The numbers and analytics love him, but guess what he's not doing? A, he's not making the playoffs. He's not winning a whole lot of games, but he's not taking a whole lot of shots or taking a whole lot of chances.
Well, Cousins, his team is way worse than the Titans, I think.
But I'm just looking at the quarterback position and the numbers
for sure.
And the analytics.
Well, I think that a lot of people would take Cousins over Tannehill.
Yeah, probably. But
I would take him.
I mean, it's the same. It's the age old, you know, the Alex Smith conversation that we've been having for years on end of, you know, guys that are Charlie checkdown or take the easy stuff and don't really put you in a spot to throw you into a win, because they're not going to throw you into a loss, but they're probably not going to throw you into a whole lot of wins either.
I think the difference though with Cousins is lately he's been taking more chances down the field because he's got those playmakers, but he'll also take the easy stuff.
Yeah.
Like Tannehill isn't going to take the deep shot. He'll just try and take some of the easy stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But look, great for the Bengals making it. And that's the whole thing. Like, no one thought the Bengals were going to be there. Now, I think the Chiefs win pretty easily. But who knows? Maybe we'll be surprised again. But like, the Bengals have a ton of playmakers, which is great. The defense is solid. Could get better, and they're gonna get better on the offensive line, because it cannot get any worse. Their offensive line is horrible, and you got to think in the offseason they'll be spending to fix that. But I would say out of the four, like, all four games were great. Obviously, all four ended on a scoring play with the decision or to decide the win. But like, of the four, I thought the Bengals Titans was the worst game of the weekend, and that's a high bar being the worst game on this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, all four games, the winning team scored on the last play. You know what I mean?
Yes, so as I just said.
Yeah, it was a weird game, as Jamie so elegantly put it. She said that a couple times we were watching games on Saturday. She would just say, "Wow, this game is weird." That was her analysis. Wasn't totally wrong. But yeah, that game wasn't very good. It was just
boring.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. There was nothing really going on. It was, kind of like old school football, I guess, if you want to call it. It was tough because the Bengals really couldn't get anything going because of all the pressure that the Titans were putting on Joe Burrow. I mean, like I said, 9 sacks. Dude is an absolute gladiator out there, Joe Burrow. I mean, just getting beat to shit and still able to make some plays when he needs to. And, you know, we're talking about the Travis Kelce play. We haven't got to it yet, but the Cooper Kupp in San Francisco, in Tampa Bay, when he gets wide open. But Ja'Marr Chase, the fact that that guy gets open at all is baffling to me. I'd put 4 guys on him and try to make them beat me with anybody else. But he had a couple big plays for the Bengals in big spots. So it was very boring, but again, it was a great weekend of football, so it's still a high bar when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, but just not a whole lot of excitement. It was just almost like a week 11 football game. Nothing really. It didn't feel like tensions were ever high.
Yeah, well, I don't understand how on that last play, like, they double teamed Ja'Marr Chase and he still was wide open.
That's what I mean. Like, it's unreal. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, no, I think you play better defense.
Well, that's step one, no doubt.
No, but like, the Janoris Jenkins got, what did he change his name to? Jackrabbit? Is that his official name?
His name is Jackrabbit.
Okay, no, but they were just calling him Jackrabbit Jenkins the whole game. But it's,
yeah, no, that, I think, yeah, that's just his nickname.
Okay, in the stat sheet, it's Janoris Jenkins. But yeah. I thought this could have been like, Enes Kanter changed his name.
Yeah, he's something Freedom.
Enes Freedom, I think. Oh, or Freedom Kant or something like that. And I was like, what were they calling? His last name's Freedom. I was like, who is the Freedom? I didn't realize that. But that's what he's doing there. So they move on. We'll talk about that game later in this week. All right, let's just stick with, since, let's go to Saturday night. This game was also, the excitement was on Sunday. The more exciting games, and really the first game got exciting late, but this was a good old slobber knocker up there.
Yep.
With the Packers going down, and I don't really, after that first drive, you saw how the Packers just eased with ease, where you're like, boy, this is going to be a long night for the Niners. How's Jimmy G with the bad thumb? I think you could clearly see his thumb was affecting him big time in the cold weather on Saturday night. How's the shoulder going? All of that stuff. Cause he almost threw about what? 4 pick sixes.
Yeah.
4 or 5 pick sixes. He also early on made some great throws. The guys were just dropping it.
I mean, George Kittle wide open. Oh, and the ball just hits him in the face. Yeah. I mean, it was an easy 6.
And then
uncharacteristic.
Like, Jennings had an easy catch that he dropped. Like, he was making good throws early on.
Yeah.
They just, it was like, started what, 0 for 5, 0 for 6, and I'd say 5 of those were just drops. But is that, I don't know if some, is that the first team to win a playoff game without scoring an offensive touchdown? Has anybody said that?
That I do not know. I doubt it. I mean, I feel like those Ravens teams back in the 2000s probably were able to do something of the sorts, but I do not know.
I need someone to look that up. Maybe I'll put in a inquiry to Elias. Yeah, because they won the game without scoring an offensive touchdown, which was pretty amazing. And like, I don't even know what the Packers special teams obviously lost in the game, but I don't think Rodgers has taken enough heat. He's not taking enough heat for he didn't throw the ball to anybody else other than Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones. Like, Alan Lazard's a good receiver. He got one target the entire game. Dude was open a ton. Like, Rodgers has not taken enough grief for another choke job at home right now. Like, I enjoy watching him play football. He's great. And I love seeing the jokes afterwards. Like, love it. Those were so funny. I was laughing all night. But like, he's not taken for being a guy that's going to win back-to-back MVPs probably. He's not taken enough heat for just failing in the playoffs again.
No, 100%. You know, they've come up short, what, 3 times in a row in the NFC Championship game, come up short against a far inferior team in the 49ers this season. But yeah, I mean, he like you said, that very first drive, I 100% agree. I was like, oh man, this is going to get ugly quick. And it just never did. You were just waiting for Green Bay. At least I was just waiting for Green Bay to kind of bust it open. San Francisco's defense was playing decently well. They're playing pretty well. I mean, they were, like I said, obviously held them to just a singular touchdown. And it just never really got going. And you're just wondering, like, all right, when is he going to turn into Aaron Rodgers? When's he going to, you know, when's Superman going to go into the phone booth and put on his cape? And it just never really happened. And then all of a sudden, you know, the 49ers are in striking distance and they get that block punt, running in for a touchdown. And you're like, okay, shoot. You know, this is probably what it's going to take right here. This is my thought process. This is what it's going to take right here for Aaron Rodgers to turn into Aaron Rodgers and start balling out. Never happened. Never happened at all. And you know, I agree that I don't think he's catching enough flack. I think he should be talked about a little bit more as, you know, a guy that's able to put up all these numbers in the regular season. But when it comes down to it, he just hasn't been able to perform. And I wonder if the one Super Bowl that he does have is kind of skewing that perception of him. Because, like, if he doesn't have that one, you know, how does he get talked about? But to Jimmy G's credit, and I know people don't want to credit him with a whole lot because he wasn't very good, hasn't been very good. But I mean, this is his second NFC Championship game at the helm. I mean, and they're on the brink of being in another Super Bowl with Jimmy G at the helm. Now, I get it. He's not very good, and they have a very good running game. They have a lot of, you know, they've had a very good defense around him, but you still got to get it done. How many other teams do we see with far better quarterbacks and, you know, similar situations, and they can't do it? So, not saying Jimmy G led them to this point, like Adam Schefter and his agent might say, but I still got to say, you got to tip your hat to him a little bit because he's been the guy at the helm the last few seasons when they've made these runs.
Oh, he did lead him to this point because he led him on that drive against the Rams to get him even in the spot to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was all him. And he's got a jacked up shoulder. He's got a busted thumb. Like, he's playing hurt. And, like, you could see those passes. They're bad. Like, the spiral's wobbly.
Yeah, there's no zip on him. There's no, like, yeah,
you
it's
could,
not tight.
You could tell he's literally playing with a busted thumb, but somehow he's gutting it out and finding a way to win. But, yeah, that last drive after the block punt, the Packers go 3 and out. Don't even get a first down. They get a false start or a legal man downfield on the first play, and then they get 4 yards after that. They don't get any of that. LaFleur, he does great in the regular season. I don't know what to make of the whole Packers thing. Like, they're screwed because of the cap. They're like 48 mil over the cap. Who knows what Rodgers is going to do? Devontae Adams is free. They'll probably franchise him. But they're a dumpster. But also, what do the Niners do? Like, the Niners told you at the beginning of the season, we don't trust Jimmy G at all, even though he took us to the Super Bowl and gave us like a 14 point lead or a double digit lead with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
And they lost. It's one more play to Emmanuel Sanders. They win that game.
Yeah. Or Kyle Shanahan calls a better game. Calls a better fourth quarter. They win the game and he wins a Super Bowl. And yeah, he's injury prone a lot. So then this year they trade what? Two or three ones to get to number three to take a dude from the FCS that didn't play football last year that could still be very good. We don't know. And now Jimmy G's got him in an NFC championship game again. Like, they're in a, what do you do? You can't. How do you get rid of Jimmy G after this year? No matter what. You would think they would want to because they could see they could recoup picks because the line would start at the left of teams that would want Jimmy G. Would you not agree or would you disagree?
No, yeah, I think so. You know, some might say that his price tag has never been higher than it is right now.
Yes, but like teams would start going – there would probably be about five or six teams that would start immediately that would look for – that would want Jimmy G. So, like, what do they do? That's – it's unbelievable. And I – they're 4-0 against Rodgers in the playoffs, which is nuts. They just got their number. And Rodgers, he sucks. I'm sorry. He stinks.
As a person.
Yeah, it's just like this – yeah, that's this, and it's not even like his what. First of all, he just blatantly says wrong information all the time. Like he's just down the rabbit hole of just wrong information, and it's just like he's just like, oh, I know more than you. Blah blah blah, cancel culture bullshit that just isn't true. Like if you really want to get into it, cancel culture would have been State Farm dropping you from all their ads. They're running more Aaron Rodgers ads than ever. Like every company that endorses you would have dropped you. Last time I checked, I don't think a single company dropped Aaron Rodgers for whatever he did. Did they?
What did he do?
Well, his misinformation about the vax, which isn't that bad, but he's like, oh, cancel culture is coming for me on that.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's his whole bit. Right. Like, oh, cancel culture is coming after me. They canceled me. No, they didn't. No one dropped you from any ads. If you're canceled, you get dropped from all this stuff. That didn't happen.
He's talking about the blue check marks, the blue check mark brigade on Twitter.
Who cares?
No, 100% agree. I mean, they're all a bunch of wieners and losers. Wait, anyway.
He's honest. Well, guess what? The blue check marks in the situation are right on their stuff. He's just spewing a bunch of wrong information. And I want to be like, oh, I'm this and that. And then you know what? He throws a hissy fit when that guy from Chicago says, I'm not voting for him in the AP thing. Oh, he throws a hissy fit because some guy's not voting for him? Aren't you? The whole point of cancel culture is canceling someone. You want this guy to get his vote out of there for not voting for you for the MVP because he doesn't like you? That's you're just a hypocrite. Like, he is the biggest, like, fake smart guy that there's ever been in this. Like, oh, I'm smart. I talk in this low tone. I watch his press conference and I don't know. It's this and that. Well, yeah, I could have done this. I don't know. Just like, dude, get out of here. Now, I take him on the Browns in a heartbeat as I say this. But he's just a moron. He's an idiot. And you know what? The Jordan Rodgers and those things, and we said it before, credit to them because – everybody thought that the family was the problem. Now we know why they kicked them out of the family, because they don't like them.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't have anything to expand on. I don't share those, a whole lot of those feelings, but credit to you.
Well, no, it's just like this whole thing of just like, I just don't understand like why he wants to, I don't get it with Rodgers. And I like the guy. Like, I was defending him. Like,
do you? You
I liked. That? Liked. Oh, I
okay,
liked.
Okay. Okay. I thought you said as in present tense.
No, like, I like the guy. Like, I was one of the guys who's like, I think he's misunderstood. Well, damn if I was right. He is misunderstood. It's just the way I didn't think he was misunderstood. But, yeah, that's just a whole, I don't know, whatever. Is with him. He's we'll see what happens if he retires, where he goes, if he plays. What do you think is going to happen?
I think he goes somewhere else.
Where is he going to go?
I don't know, but I think it's somewhere else, not Green Bay.
I don't know. I think he might retire. I think I would lean that.
No.
Huh?
He's not going to go out like that.
I don't know if he really wants to play for another team.
Why wouldn't he? I think he would want to play for another team. I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to go like, I mean, not Detroit, but maybe like Chicago or you know, go the Brett Favre route so he could kind of stick it to the Packers one last time.
I don't think there's like this big animosity with the Packers as it made it seem in the offseason.
Well, he did say that the relationship with the Packers GM has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I think that was like overblown, or he wanted to make it worse so it would get better.
That'd be a wild take. What? Let's make it worse, like that he would want to make it worse to get better. Like that's some extreme foresight there. But I think he tries to go elsewhere. You know, I think he really likes the guys like Aaron Jones. Obviously, loves Devontae Adams, but you know, I don't know where he's going to get another guy like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes somewhere else.
Well, they just don't have the space, or they're going to have to figure out their a ton of guys are going to have to be gone, or they're going to have to make huge roster changes.
Yeah.
And also, look, he's as we said, he's got to take some of the blame for playing bad.
Yeah.
For not beating them and making it to another Super Bowl. Like, guy goes to one Super Bowl. That's pretty nuts.
I know it. And not, like I said, choke three times in a row in the NFC Championship game.
I will say one of those, the one against the Seahawks, that was more McCarthy, I'd say. That wasn't three in a row, but that was more McCarthy. All right, then the other one, the last one, what a comeback. The Ram, what a great finish for this one. The Rams squeaked by against the Bucks when it looked like they had it in control. They did everything in their power to give it away, four fumbles. And Brady, I didn't really think even after the fumble, the Cooper Kupp fumble, like, oh, it's going to be, I don't know. After Matt Gay somehow came up short.
Yeah.
On a 47-yard field goal. How is that possible? Or what's
he's a guy that has like a cannon for a
yes. Yes. After he came up short, they got the ball back. They punted. What I was going to say was after the Evans touchdown, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It made me hit a prop, which I was happy about, prop parlay. So I was pumped about that. Like, oh, the Rams will be fine. They'll just run it out. But, you know, fumble and you're like, oh, my God, this is really going to happen.
Yeah.
That they just choke. They just choke away. Choke it away. Brady gets a call on. They didn't get a penalty on fourth down or not. No, that was when they turned it over before the fumble.
Yeah.
Earlier in the drive.
Yeah.
But then their defense just plays horrible. Okay. Let's start with the last drive. Was that a design quarterback draw on first down?
I don't think so. Couldn't have been.
But it looked like it, didn't it?
Yeah. That's what that was like one of the first like I don't know. There was just no way that could have been the call. That's the ultimate, like, think they're going one way and we're going to zig when they think we're going to zag. But that's just like, that's not even a zig. I don't know what that is. That's a wild call. If that's the call.
But it looked like it, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it did. It did for sure.
And that made my over 4.5 sacks hit, which I was pumped about. That I said, hey, I like sacks in this game. Brady was getting the ball out so fast. Shout out to the design quarterback run for getting our fifth sack of the day. But then how do you just let, it's like, how do you let Tyreek Hill beat you? How do you let Mahomes beat you if you're the Bills? If you're the Bucks, how do you let the one guy, Cooper Kupp, out there? How do you let him
beat
you?
The only guy. The only guy.
And then how do you let him get behind you? If you want to give up that little out route, fine. What, you know what? You see how many times you give up that sideline route. Whatever. What'd that go for? 20 yards? You know what? Keep everything in front of you. They got no timeouts. 35 seconds left. Or go right ahead. But how do you let him get behind you on the next play?
Yeah.
What are these guys doing?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to the, you know, what we talked about last week when you're talking about, you know, playing Madden. Like, this guy makes some good calls defensively. Like, any Madden player, all weekend, there was quite a few players where it's like, this is just an obvious play. Either double this guy, you play some kind of shell defense, keep everything in front of you, whatever it may be. And it's like, how these guys don't see that? I mean, I know in the heat of battle, things can get lost, whatever. But like, you're the best in the world at what you do. You play and practice for these big time spots. And we saw 4 out of 4 times that teams, you know, maybe not necessarily in that. Yeah, no, in that Bengals game too, because we, you know, we talked about Jamar Chase getting open. Like 4 out of 4 times, like the one guy that you don't want to be open is open. And you just don't, I just don't, like, it's unfathomable that they allow that to happen.
Yeah, I just don't know how that, I don't know how it happens. And I, maybe miscommunication, bad call. I really don't know. I have no clue how it happens, but the Stafford hive was buzzing. I like Stafford. I think it's great that now he's six. He's going into the playoffs. I think he had the most pressure on himself out of any quarterback.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
With being the, oh, they gave up this much. He struggled down the stretch.
The Rams went all in.
They went all in on Stafford, and he's got him to the championship game. One win away from the Super Bowl. Like, he is, and he's played great. He carved the Cardinals up, and he was fantastic yesterday. Like, if they would have lost yesterday, I don't think there's anyone, no one's blaming Matt Stafford yesterday if they lose.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially the way, you know, you have the fumbles, the Sony Michel fumble, the snap behind him. There's 2 other fumbles, and you know, those weren't on him. And, you know, and then, but you give Brady those extra chances to come back. Like, you can't put that on him. It's like, what do you want me to do? My team's turned the ball over. Every chance I get, I'm moving us up and down the field. We're scoring. We're getting points. We have a guy that's known to have an absolute cannon of a leg come up short on a 47-yard field goal. Like, what else do you want from me? So I agree. If they would have lost, that would have been talked about more of a Brady comeback, and I think less of a Stafford shitting the bed. But so, you know, I think I agree, though. I don't know about you. I know you still kind of, you're a big Odell guy. Looking at the 4 teams now, I would love for a Bengals-Rams Super Bowl. I don't know that that's going to be what we get, but I'd like to see Stafford get one. I'd like to see Odell get one. I'd like to see Sean McVay kind of get over the hump finally of winning a Super Bowl after, you know, everyone makes the jokes. They've been going all in for the last 4 or 5 years. I'd like to see Sean McVay get one. I think he deserves it. Fun fact, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this, but Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan were both coaches for Washington. I haven't seen that mentioned at all. Matt LaFleur was as well, but he's gone. So, you know, big story there that nobody's been talking about, much like they weren't talked about yesterday or this weekend being a big weekend of football. So, you know, that's something that's kind of gone under the radar. But I think we're looking at a couple of great matchups, you know, with the Rams going head-to-head with San Francisco. You know, it's funny because San Francisco, they've kind of had the Rams number the last few seasons. Now, the last game that they played each other, the Rams got the best of the 49ers, I believe. But no.
Did the 49ers, that's when they came the last week of the season. That's when they came back, right, to make the playoffs.
So then it was week. It was the first week they played. The first week they played, I think the Rams blew them out. But the 49ers have kind of had the Rams number since Kyle Shanahan's been there. It's been funny. Even if the Rams have been the superior team, they've had them figured out. So I want to see how this goes down in the NFC Championship game. But and then I don't see any chances of the Bengals beating the Chiefs. But hey, you never know.
You do never know. About the Brady thing, I mean, that was vintage Brady at the end. They did get a lot of fortune of the Rams. Their misfortune turned their fortune. But do you think he's done?
No, no chance.
I'd say there was buzz, though, yesterday morning.
No chance.
I don't know. I would lean to say he's going to come back, but even if he came back, even if he did retire, I know that's kind of a bad way to retire, but it's not like he
doesn't have anything left to prove.
No, not left to prove. And really, if he retires, like, that's kind of a cool, I know you don't win a Super Bowl, that's the best way to go out, but like, hey, you know what? I came back from 27. It's a selfish way, but I came back from 27-3 and the defense just blew it down the stretch or at the end of the game, so we didn't come back to win.
As that's Giselle might say, he can't throw the ball and play safety.
Yeah, he can't. He can't. All right. So no, the Rams lost 31-10 against the Niners this week, or their first time. It was in week 10 on Monday Night Football. They lost 31-10, but I don't know. Did you mention the, I heard you mention Washington. Were you talking about all the coaches there that were there?
Yeah. Nobody's mentioned that. I don't know.
Nobody's mentioned that.
If you knew that it was Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Nobody mentioned that they were all like 25 years old while they were doing it too.
I do think that the funniest thing about that is like, okay, yeah. Like what, you know how badly criticized Washington would have been if they would have hired any of those guys as a head coach?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they would have been like the Rams were getting reamed for hiring McVay and he was like 31.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, who, what are they hiring this guy for?
Well, even the Bengals caught flack for hiring Zach Taylor because he was just the quarterback's coach for the Rams. Well, so it's like, and so, I mean, it, no, I get it. Like, none of those guys were in a position to be a head coach or anything more than what they were at that point.
Yes. Yes. So that's an unfair criticism on Washington. I'll back you
like
up.
Credit to Mike Shanahan. Like he knows good offensive coaches. He knows good offensive minds. He's been that way his entire coaching career. You know, he's got quite a big coaching tree underneath him. And, but yeah, that's just,
Do you just want to say, hey, I'm going to use, or you could say Mike Shanahan's smart. He uses nepotism and then hires his son's friends to be coaches.
Well, guess what? Shout out to him for them being good.
Yeah, but it starts with nepotism and you believe in your son. And then you're like, hey, you know what? My son's like, hey, I got a couple friends that are good minds. And that's like that. So it all stems back to being, it all stems back from nepotism.
Perfect. Love it. Need more of it.
There's a ton of it. Ton of it out there. But yeah, no, look, games should be good this weekend. I obviously don't think they're going to be as good as what we saw from the four pack this weekend, but should be good out there. And we'll have to see if the Rams, according to Darren Revelle, will be the first team to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Wow. Interesting. I could have sworn that it would happen before.
Yeah. Almost like it happened last year.
Almost.
You know, maybe he was too busy looking at his MLK memorabilia.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Rosa Parks signed NAACP card.
Not signed, just like.
I thought it was signed.
It is not like an autograph. Like, it'd be like saying your driver's license is autographed. It's literally.
Oh,
just like,
really? That's it?
Yeah, like she had signed her name on it because she had to prove that, like, that was her card.
Did he tweet a picture of it?
I think so, or he had showed it somewhere where it was like, yeah, it's not an autograph. Like, she signed to confirm that that was hers. Like, signed her name.
Okay, I thought it was like an autograph.
No.
Okay. It's still a crazy move that he would have that. Yeah. But I didn't realize it was because the way he sounded was that it was
correct.
The sounded like it. He made it sound like, oh, he got it autographed. He bought it from some whatever.
Nope.
Wow, did you see this? FanDuel with 13 seconds left offered the Chiefs at 16-1.
Really?
Yeah, one guy.
I'll tell you what, man. I felt like. Whoa, sorry. Go ahead. One guy did what?
I see a guy put $150 on. I walked away with a cool $2,500.
I for a minute there, I felt like the smartest man in the world. I took the over 49 and the under 58.5 or something like that. And when they scored, I was like, oh my god, I'm a genius. I'm the best gambler ever. And then the Chiefs tied it up, and that second bet was all gone. But I still made it out with some money. I was smart with the hedge. Still made it out with some money, but I was looking at a big payday, and it was significantly less than what I was planning for with 13 seconds left.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that will do it. Oh, so I saw this. You talked about Akshay's caddy. Talked about him winning the DM.
Yeah, Internet Investigator Shore was on the case.
Internet Investigator on the Shore. I was a little leery of this. I was a little skeptical going into, I think, when I saw this, because I saw this Akshay on TikTok, whatever. I mentioned this on Thursday's show that I saw him on TikTok, and I was like, that girl looks like familiar. I thought he was dating someone because she was in a bunch of his TikToks or whatever. And then the whole thing's like, oh, he DM'd her on Instagram to be his caddy. I sent you the video too. That was a video from what, October? Whenever it was. They've been dating. It was his girlfriend that I thought it was the whole time. So the whole oh, he DM'd me to be a, and they both played up. She's played it up on her stories, but like, that's just a, as Al Michaels would say, it's a totally farcical statement.
Yeah, they definitely, it was a made for internet story that they, I think they cooked up a little bit, but you know, you want to believe in things, and then time and time again, you're proven why you shouldn't.
I don't discount that he DM'd her on Instagram to be like, hey, let's start date, or do you want to go on a date? I would believe that.
Right.
But it wasn't a, hey, come to the Bahamas with me. Like, they were dating. She was going anyways.
Correct.
So, yes, that's the, I did my investigative work. The investigative work, it was the TikTok algorithm speaking to me by, they must have been listening because they heard me talking about it, and bang, there's one of her TikToks right there. It's like they were listening. The algorithm knows.
The algorithm knows all.
The algorithm knows all. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. We'll be back on Wednesday, Thursday this week, giving out picks for the weekend. Some props out there as well, probably if they're up. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back on later this week.